Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome everybody, Dr. Ron Oberstein, about to be leaving the presidency at Life Chiropractic College West. But, you know, this is our second from last Life West leadership line, and I had to save this one for the gentleman next to me, my dear friend and colleague, someone I've known for 40 plus years, Dr. Peter Kevorkian, who will be coming into the presidency in just a few weeks' time from when you get this to your in your inbox. Boom, here we are. Welcome, my man.
Yeah, well, thank you. Exciting to be here, Dr. Ron.
It is. It's exciting to have you. I mean, you know, the greatest thing for me is knowing, obviously, you know, that when you leave, just like a practice, right? You know, if you go out of practice and you turn it over to somebody, you know, it's taken care of. It's in great hands. Everything's going to be beautiful, and I know that to be true. So it's going to be awesome. But welcome to the leadership line.
Big shoes to fill, Dr. Ron. You've done an amazing job.
Well, I tell you, I'd leave my shoes for you, but the truth is, you know, I still got some miles to walk.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what you create. It's going to be great.
Well, me too. I've been thinking about that.
Thank you for giving me a great thing to take to the next level.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump in. People who do know you as, you know, Dr. Peter Kevorkian, ICPA, you know, chair of the board and instructor and doing all kinds of things and practitioner in Massachusetts. And you kind of, you know, are leaving it's kind of like a butterfly, right? You know, you're kind of the cocoon. And let's just go back. You know, you've been at the college for 18 months. Tell me, what has been like, you know, a realization for you, you know, to be here? Because obviously this is different. We're in the corporate world here, you know, multi-million dollar, you know, business. We run differently, you know, close to 180 to 200 employees and, you know, and then plus students and stuff.
Great question. And there are so many parts to that answer. There are many things in practice that you can extend into any other environment. Yet until you're in that environment, you don't know all the various pieces that how they have to articulate. Probably the biggest growth process for me was understanding, if you will, corporate America. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm in my practice with my wife for 42 years, entrepreneur, mom and pop practice, you make a decision on a Monday morning. By Monday afternoon, you got
it's
it going.
Implemented.
You got it going, right? it's a little different in corporate America, and the protocols and the hierarchy. And sometimes when I was first here, I said, why? And as I'm here longer and longer, you realize that so many of the things have been put into place to have fairness, to be appropriate, to be honoring to people's needs. And you need to have structure, you need to have organization, you need to have procedure, and it's just extended. So it was a huge awakening for me to be in corporate America. And I've been aware of and engaged in some level of chiropractic politics, still there. It's only personified in this seat. The politics and human dynamics, it only personified, you know, there are ways and things. So all of those pieces of it. The beautiful thing about being here is it is a true symbol of how the environment, the culture, the space you hold from the leadership position is so critical a piece of what comes down into the rest of that environment.
It's very much above, down, inside.
Oh, 100%.
You know, absolutely.
100%.
Though the above, you know, doesn't necessarily have to control everything down, you know, down below, because you've got a lot of, you know, organs and parts that are working beautifully. But I love what you explained. Like, it's like there's like a kinetic chain that happens, right?
Right.
From anything you do from the first time you touch it, it just it's going to affect this person. This person might do this department, and it just starts to have these branches that go off, right? You know, and anastomoses that kind of happen, and all these things that take place. It's a living organism.
So right? I've always felt like one of my skill sets in leadership within my communities, my organization, my practice, obviously, was I could see that when you made a decision or something up here, how it was going to affect down below. So to witness that here in this environment, the complexity is personified dramatically. But it's so interesting to come and to witness of it. But holding that space of the vision, the purpose, and allowing people to buy into that idea, and that becomes the juice that allows everybody to be present.
Absolutely.
So it's been a huge
awakening.
Awakening. And, you know, people ask me all the time. I said, "Do you like being in California?" I said, "Well, I've always loved the Bay Area. It's beautiful here." That was not the draw to be here. I said, "I'm immersed in life, Chiropractic College West, and everything that happened. So I could literally be anywhere to be doing it." And they said, "Well, do you love it?" And I said, "There is not a day that I'm here that I'm not ravenous. It is exciting. It's dynamic. It uses a whole different part of my brain, my nervous system, the level of creative thought and engagement and all the dynamics of human relations. It's awesome." And I'll be honest, there are days that I'll say, "Why am I doing this? I have not worked this hard. I don't have ever."
You're working.
Yeah, and you said that to me beforehand. It's like, in practice, for the last 10, 15 years, you build a successful practice, and you've got the procedures, and an amazing team, and patients who love you. Right. You're a superstar every day. But it's like, practice was easy. People would say, "When was I going to retire?" So I don't. Never retired. I've been retired for 10 years. That was my answer. Yeah. So it is an incredible lift, and super exciting. I'm very, very excited about the impact that I know I can make at Life Chiropractic College West, with the students, with the team, with the direction of the college, into the profession. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and I think the most beautiful thing too is just, you know, Life West, as we always talk about, is just brick and mortar. You know, it's like, it's really about humanity. You know, it's really about changing the world, just like we do in our office,
right?
You know, it's the same thing. So the impact that really, the ripple effect is just like, but just times what we did in our office by 10,000, a million, whatever it might be, because you're training these students to go out and do the same. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, interesting thing. There are times that during the day I'm in my office and doing stuff, and you just get overwhelmed. Whether it's a speed bump here or a challenge there or something that I got to complete or a schedule or whatever. And sometimes I just have to get up and I just have to walk into Sid Square.
Yeah.
And just be around students, just to walk through and just see some faces and just see how they're focused on their exam or a board or something that just happened. It's like, this is why I'm here.
That's right.
That's
the anchor, right?
Student energy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll say in my years in practice, the student preceptors that we would have or interns that would come to our office always fed a certain vitality and juice that, particularly as you get more seasoned in practice, like, but I get to be immersed in that every day. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, 18 months, pretty much. You've been close to 18 months. Came in January of 2024.
Mm-hmm. January 1st.
January 2nd, exactly. Yeah. What surprised you the most? Like, what was one of the ahas when you came here and you went, wow? Not that I never knew this, but possibly, wow, you know, this is amazing because, or whatever it might be. What was one of the bigger ahas?
Oh, there were a few.
I'm sure there's a bunch.
There were a few of them. First, I'm going to start on the student side. The students here are amazing. I mean, I have, because of my involvement with ICPA, and we were on many college campuses, I got to see students from all over. And Life West students were always great, but the level of passion, excitement. As I would meet students, see what they were doing, see what's going on at the health center, the competency, the drive. We got nothing to worry about relative to our students becoming the next generation and leaders in our profession.
Yeah.
And it is a very a special and amazing place. So that was the biggest aha reinforcement. And so, yeah, you made the right choice to be here. The other aha is the structure, organization, and commitment of your cabinet. That was huge. I mean, the people who sit on the cabinet, the vice presidents, the associate vice president, yourself, inspirational. Just to cabinet meetings, to be there, and it's like, oh my God, I get to sit around these people. As every one of them offered a gift, a perspective, I would learn an incredible amount each time. And I felt as though my perspectives, my input was valued as well. Yeah. And, so I could be at the table with some very, very high level thinkers. I would, every cabinet meeting, leave stimulated, my creative juices stimulated, a list of like 15 things that I wanted to get done. So that was a huge aha.
Well, it's a laugh.
The other aha, I remember when I was interviewing for a position, I think it was for not in my office, but I was one of the people interviewing.
You're on the interview panel.
Interview pack. Yeah. And I'm there and asking questions, and I'm sitting next to director of HR.
Yeah.
I asked a question, she hit me. She said, you can't ask that. I said, oops. So a few times I realized, oh, okay.
Sure. And that's what you talked about before, though, because in the corporate world,
right.
Yeah, there's a lot of formalities, right. and legalities, right?
Right.
You know, in our office, you can kind of, those legalities are still in our offices, but we just, we're not aware of them, right? You know.
The boundaries are blurred.
Yeah,
they are. Within our practices.
Yeah.
And part of it, I will say this from my standpoint, I said, my patients know me. They know who I am, what I am, what I stand for. They wouldn't do X, Y, Z. You know, so we make assumptions within our practice. And not to say that it doesn't exist here. Of course it does. But there's just so many other layers of complexity and so many other stories and relationships and history that you don't know about.
Yeah.
And so I fully understand why many of the procedures and policies are in place, and learning that. And yeah, I should go and get HR training, which I did, and I've checked off all the boxes. But until you're immersed in it, you don't. There are so many layers to it. And, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that stepping in, it's such a, we talked about this before, that in practice, you're done for the day, and you're done. Yes, you might have, someone that was acute or something that you have to take care of tomorrow or whatever, but you're not really thinking about it that night. But try to go months without ever, or years without ever being complete.
Oh.
Because we have so many projects going on that this one gets complete, but another three have come on since this one started, and then we've got another eight of them over here, and it's like, so you don't go home like, poof, complete, done,
No,
we'll come back the next day fresh, kind of thing.
It was a huge learning curve for me because I never realized in practice how much energy you expend when you adjust.
Yeah.
Just standing all day and adjusting people and doing our dance. I realized after I was here 2 to 3 weeks that if I didn't keep my activity level up, that, boy, not only would I gain weight, but I'd have all sorts of health issues.
Yeah.
So I had needed to really look at my daily discipline. I cannot go for more than a day without working out.
Yeah.
I mean, my goal is to do it every day. You miss a day here and there, but I have to. Otherwise, I feel it in many, many areas of my life.
Well, just for our viewers, if you're ever in, by the campus in Hayward, just come here at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's a 5 in the morning? Yeah, 5:30?
I usually show up at 5.
5 in the morning because Dr. Peter's in the gym at 5 in the morning. I don't think you have to worry about too many students at 5 in the morning being there, but that's when you go into the gym on campus, right?
Right.
Get your workout done, do your stuff. And when I see you leave, then you're usually out of here by 4:30, sometimes 5. But, it's like, you've already been here since, in your chair since 6:15 or whatever.
6:30.
Yeah, and just doing your work, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and there are many pieces to that, and we've never talked about this. I love working out that time of day. I always have. That's my best time for my exercise routine. I love being in the student space.
Yeah,
it's like it because that I'll go by the gym periodically in the day, and I don't. Not that I wouldn't be welcomed by the students, yes, absolutely, but it's like, this is sacred space the students, right? And I intentionally want to be out of there because they show up at 6 o'clock and start doing their CrossFit stuff and their trainings and cold plunges and all the things that they'll do. But it is great being in the space. And you can just feel just the energy in that space. It's awesome.
And they're sharing it with you. That's the beautiful thing.
That's right, you know?
They're pouring it into
100%.
You because they've left it like that, right? I love it. Let's transition. I want to talk to you about, you know, not so much your vision, but your vision is always important, of course. But where do you see, you know, what are some of the things that you see right now, right, that's going on? Because there's a lot happening at the college. You know, some of the first things you want to put your hands into, you know. And I know it's not about changing this completely, but it's about, you know, just where you see your input can come into.
And we've already started this journey. And it's okay to share, I'm assuming. One of the great things that you have brought to this program, to the chiropractic program, is the clinically inspired learning, the CIL program. And where chiropractic education has typically been the academic side and then the clinical side, you really flipped it and said, it's a clinical program. We are training chiropractors to be in service to the world. So from day one, they need to know that they're a clinician. And then you feed the academics to support that process.
Right.
Phenomenal idea. And I really believe that many colleges are actually starting to model that off of what you initiated here. But there are disconnects. And I really felt some of those as you're creating anything new.
Yeah.
So one of my high values is to marry the academic and the clinical program. I think things are taught academically that don't necessarily translate into the clinical side and clinical needs that are being addressed here that aren't really addressed earlier on in the program. So to marry that and some exciting changes that I know we're gonna see to ensure that happens. But that's a huge, huge
And it's important. I mean, because we've talked about this a lot. And the beautiful thing is like, you know, we were in here and creating this from scratch, you know, from an idea to going on paper and pencil and then, you know, putting into a computer and then actually
bringing it out,
trial and error to make it happen. And then.
And pause. And I don't know if people know this. The wheels of academia move very slowly.
Yeah.
And there's a good and a bad to that, right?
Yeah.
But unlike practice where you could make a decision in the morning and implement it, there's a process.
Right.
And it's not just buy-in. There's just process. And how classes are taught to ensure the learning outcomes still happen there, the competencies are maintained.
When you put it in, because you've got, if you put it in sixth quarter and there's 14 quarters, right, what's going to happen seventh, eighth, nine? You know,
Right.
So when it goes in, when the program is fully implemented, I know, it's a maturation
You don't know what you don't know
process.
Until you're in it, right?
So, absolutely.
So that's
absolutely. Yeah. But with all of that, the cool thing for me, and you know, I trust you 1,000%. I know everything you do comes with intention, it comes with purpose, and it comes with passion, right? Mm-hmm. And the cool thing for me is that to have your eyes, I'm talking about Peter's eyes, right? To look at this, first of all, you just bought into it, you know, but then to look at it and say, good, what is it? We've got blind spots. We've been so inside the motor for so long that you're able to come in and just say, oh, good, well, what's that? What's this? What's this? What's this? What's this? And say, hey, you know what? That timing belt just isn't working. The three motors aren't necessarily humming. And it's like, oh, we didn't know that, you know, kind of thing. And that's what I'm thrilled about. You know, I'm thrilled to come back. You know, I'll be back, but I'm thrilled in 3 years to sit with you and say, tell me, you know, where has the baby? What has it grown into now?
Yeah.
You know, like what's the kid doing, so to speak, right? You know,
what does teenagehood look like?
Exactly. But you are so right. Yeah. And just for our audience, you know, in there's corporate world, right? And then there's the academic corporate world, and they're different, you know, but there's a lot of similarities. But things in your practice, you could do things like a speedboat, like you said. Something you picked up at a conference this weekend, go in on Monday morning, have a team meeting at lunch, and say, hey, let's get this implemented. Maybe it'll be tonight, maybe it'll be or tomorrow, maybe it'll be next Monday, whatever it is that has to be done, you know, the preparation for it to be done. That's a speedboat. In the academic corporate world, it is a freighter. in dock trying to get out, it just turns really slowly. Yeah, I don't think it feels the current. It's so big, but it just turns very slowly. And when I first got here, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. And I said to myself, and I really mean this, an audience, I said to myself, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be demanding that let's get this moving. If you tell me 9 months it's going to take, I want to do it in 6, right? And I do that, right? But that's how we got stuff done, right? And our team now knows how to make that happen. And there might be more error easily because we're moving at a quicker pace.
It.
But you can correct it,
right.
Exactly. Instead of waiting forever, it's like watching paint dry for us coming out of that, not being in that space. And I think that's probably one of the blessings that we have, you know, that you have, you know, coming out of a space of, boom, what can we do? You know, I don't know if you know this. When we first put it in, I called an academic group in and said, here's what I'm looking to do. I want to invert what we're doing, have it be clinically driven, the clinical stream supported by the academics instead of the opposite, like you mentioned, and the clinic at the end. So want it right from the beginning. I said, can we do it? They said, no. Well, they looked at it, no, we can't do it. And I basically said, okay, good, I'll find someone who can. And as they're walking out the door, I said, thank you for your honesty. I'll find someone who can. We'll find some people who can. And they turned around. They said, well, give us a chance. They didn't know me, right? I said, okay, well, I'll give you 90 days, you know. So 90 days they came back. They really worked on it, but it just wasn't necessarily it. But I wanted them to kind of make them think.
Right.
I didn't want to be there guiding them. And then we sat down and talked. I said, yeah, but what about this? I go, give 90 days. I go, 90 more days, right? Came back, and they were like on the path now. And then we had these meetings, and then boom, 90 days after that. So 9 months, we had this baby born,
that's
right?
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, it's like everyone, the rate of flow we're so used to in our offices, you know, in your office, the rate of flow is fast, you know, and you know that when you're moving, things are happening and things, and that's what we're raised with. We're not raised with, you know, we'll see if it happens. And then 9 months later, it didn't happen. Okay, well, now I guess we'll try this. Who's got time?
That's right. I got you.
So we're flipping it. But academics have changed also.
Oh,
the times have changed. They, to keep 100%. Up, they have to move. So that leads me to my next question. Like, you know, you've been around for 18 months, and that is a long time in academia to start. And you've been at a high level. It wasn't like you were just in a classroom and didn't really know all the inner workings and all that other stuff. You know, tell me about what you see in academia.
Great question.
Yeah.
So I've been connected to academia peripherally, teaching for the ICPA, being on the board of a chiropractic college for 8 years, and interfacing with presidents and teachers, but never being in it.
Yeah.
There are a number of needs that I think exist today that definitely did not exist when you and I went to school. 100% didn't exist.
Yeah.
Students are different. The culture is different. You know, the people who are in their 20s and 30s today have different needs. Best metaphor, chiropractic is the same.
Yeah.
You know, chiropractic hasn't changed. It's just like we listen to music today. I remember when I went out to chiropractic school, I had, I'm driving my 1974 Gremlin. and I had this box that was like this big, and I put something that was like this size. They called them cassettes back then.
Sure.
And you put it inside of this machine, you pushed a button, you listen to music. And then you want to listen to the next song, you push another button, wait for a few seconds to guess where that next spot. Yeah. That's music. It's the same music today.
Yeah.
But you got it on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, how we deliver it, how it exists.
And you hit the arrow button, and it takes you right to the beginning of the next song.
Next song, right.
Yeah.
So Music is music, but how we package it, deliver it, listen to it changes. Chiropractic is the same way.
Yeah.
You know, the values of chiropractic are the same. I saw this in practice. Even after 40 years in practice, the story is the same, but how I had to deliver it had to evolve because the cultural needs are different. Academia is the same. Student learning process, back when we went to school, was very, very didactic. You know, somebody got up in front of class, it's like they put on a tape recorder. They started talking, you took a bunch of notes, and you left the class, and hopefully you could find the notes from a previous class because it was all the same. But it was just all done that way. You know, it was with acetates, you know, remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And overhead projectors. Now, many things are accelerated. Most of the students have the notes for the class when they go to the class.
Right.
The PowerPoint that the teacher is using already lives on their iPad or their computer. So they have all the data they need. So their engagement in the class is different. And it's not just about data. And that's one of the beautiful things about the SIL program. It's not just the data, it's the experience.
That's right.
And it's not that we didn't have an experience when we were in school, but we actually need to give intention. The experience we had was secondary to the environment and the academics that was being thrown at us. We actually need to be conscious and intentional with the student experience in the academic as well as the non-academic space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And part of the SIL program lends itself to that because we're training caregivers, clinicians. So, yes, you have the labs and clinical touch, palpation, thrusting early on in the program. But even the experience needs to be looked at, which, you know, and you and I have talked some bit about this. If you are staying current with technology, you're behind the curve.
Yeah.
And yeah. I really believe that the technologies that are being implemented in the delivery of our program, and I don't just mean, you know, screens and PowerPoints and data projectors and sound systems, but the actual integration of technology, artificial intelligence in the delivery of the program and the student experience, we need to explore.
Yeah.
And we don't know what we don't know. Yeah. It is growing exponentially.
And the people who know it, what they know now could be different when the product comes out.
You know? I actually had that conversation with somebody today. I said, there are AI consultants you can get for business. And I said, you can get them for business, you can get them for academia. I said, but that person is here. There is a person that knows the technology that they're utilizing back here. That's the person I want. It's this person that can that can future sense where the needs are going to go to. This person is taking today's technology and saying how we can implement the technology. If this is where we start, that we're going to be behind the curve. Because
exactly
it grows real quick.
We need faster than we can learn.
We need this person to be able to say, okay, this is where it's going to go. This is what you got to be prepared for.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need the person who's just on the other side of the programming. Right, just on the other side of the...
So here's what blew me away. So together, we were over in Vegas, right?
Right.
And we saw Gary Vaynerchuk, right?
Right. You know,
Gary
right.
V.
Oh.
What blew me away, it's still in my mind. I mean, it's still so fresh. Because, you know, we're getting into AI here, and we're doing different stuff. And, you know, we talked about the whole cabinet being trained and how exponentially things are just going to just pop up and you know, move at a much quicker pace. But when Gary V said that he saw the next generation of AI, right? Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is you as a patient, you want to see a chiropractor, you're going to say, just walk in and speak to Alexa, speak to Siri, speak to whoever else and just say, hey, Alexa, you know, I need a chiropractor somewhere within a 5-mile distance here who specializes in this or does whatever, right? And then Alexa's going to spit back to you, oh, go see Dr. Peter Kevorkian in Westwood, Massachusetts at Kevorkian Family Westwood Family Chiropractic. You know, would you like me to make an appointment for you? Right? I mean, you're not even going to have that. The patient isn't even going to be searching or doing whatever. Tell me who's got the best reviews or who has reviews for this or that.
Well, because
that's where it's going. But here's the thing. People are thinking, we don't even know that. You know, and if you do know that, there's not going to be any more Google ads going out because it's going to be about getting rated high so the Google algorithm is going to have your name come up.
Well, but it's even more than that.
I'm sure.
Because when you ask the question, the more that you engage with artificial intelligence, the more it knows you.
Right.
And so when you ask the question, who's the chiropractor I should see, if I was exact same place and I asked the question, I'm going to get a different answer than you because it knows who you are versus who I am. And so, I mean, that level of integration.
It's great. Sidebar.
It's great and it's scary.
It's very scary.
Because we don't know.
Very scary. Sidebar. Today, I was on ChatGPT doing some stuff, getting some, you know, working out some things for graduation. And it all of a sudden it just popped up and said, this is what I know about you. It just came out of nowhere. So this is what I know about you. And it kind of defined who I was. You're a leader, you're this, you're that, but yet you have compassion and principle. You know, it's just taking everything I've ever fed in. And then it said, may I ask you some more questions about yourself? And I said, and I wrote, yes. It wanted to learn. I said, yes. And so it basically asked me some questions and I answered those questions. And then at the end, it did about 4 or 5 of those. And at the end it said, is there anything I didn't ask that you feel would be helpful? Just like you're doing in an interview, right? And I said, yes. I said, you know, you didn't talk about my family, about my personal life as far as a, being a father and the importance of what I have. Blah, blah, blah. And then it spit this thing out to me, which was just so beautiful. I mean, you ever want to feel good? You don't have to go get likes on Facebook. Just talk to freaking AI, you know? I mean, it was just, but it was so incredible how it painted me, you know?
But whatever we do today, it's not going to be close to what it's going to look like even 3 years from now.
So
that's, you know, the student experience. And within the program, I want it to be second to none. Yeah. And I've said this to the cabinet. I think you've heard me say it too. We already have a phenomenal student experience. Yeah. I want a student when they come into first class, they're gonna say, "Oh my goodness! Yeah. I had no idea I was going to get this." Yeah. You know, I want when a student graduates, say, "Oh my God, I just experienced the most incredible 3-4 years of my life."
Yeah.
That's my goal.
I love it. Right? I love it. And you know, they say
and
that.
They're going to be competent, capable, compassionate, articulate chiropractors.
Yep. I love it. It's so cool. You know, in my seat right now, I hear you say that, I can say, "Oh man, you have such a beautiful platform right now," because the typical thing that anybody would say, right? You don't even know where it was 9 years ago to where we are now. You don't need to know where it was. All you need to know is where it is now and where you could take it to. And that's the beauty about me giving you the canvas, so to speak, right? So that you could just see this canvas we have now, which is beautiful, but be able to just, oh man, put yourself into it, which you're going to just do amazing.
It's actually been fun because I've had meetings, obviously, with the cabinet one-on-one regarding various issues that we're working on. And none of them have said it, but I can sort of like see the look in their eyes saying, "Oh, this is going to be fun." And not that anything was going on was bad or wrong. As you said, a different set of eyes. And so it's going to be fun.
And a new driver. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, you know, some people go around the corners faster. Some people, you just have to get used to it, you know, and that's
like
really
speed.
What it is. But yeah, I mean, me too. All right, I got one last question to ask you, right? And we'll kind of wrap up. And this question is probably, it has to do with, and then I have a few other short questions, but this will kind of deal with, you know, you as a person and you as a president, so we're going to move you up right now about 3 weeks, right, to when, you know, I give you the key to the office, so to speak, right, proverbially. And, you know, you as a person keeping your balance of who you are right now and what you do, and then stepping into, as you watch me the last 18 months, because you would continually say to me, "How do you do what you do," right? But you kind of get an idea now, you know. How are you going to keep that balance? And I'm asking you this more for you, so that maybe at some point you can look back at this, you know, if you need to, which I hope you don't, but, you know, if you're ever feeling out of balance. But how will you keep that balance?
First of all, I don't know if balance can ever be achieved. I've often said this.
Yeah.
Or
to the best that, you know.
So first let me define balance, okay, or what I think you're meaning. If I'm just standing up, not going anywhere, I'm balanced, right? But in order for me to go anywhere, as I take a step, I'm moving out of balance. You're moving in and out of this thing called balance.
Yeah.
I used to, in practice, say, "I want you to have a balanced spine." And if anything I learned, it's not balance you want. You want adaptable, flexible.
Or my wife calls it harmony.
Harmony,
you know?
Harmony,
yeah.
Exactly right. So it's that piece that I will strive for.
Yeah.
And I still have not yet quite found that process of harmony, adaptability that I want. I mean, after 42 years of practice, you find that.
Yeah.
So I've been creating the exercise, workout, meals, but I've gotten very, very good that when I leave, and I need to like close my computer, because I could very easily just go and work on the project and get ahead and get a few more things off my list. But to give that time and space for me to unplug, literally, and you know, to be with Patty or wherever, go out to dinner, whatever it is that I'm going to do, and to be present there. It already is enough of a distraction just having cell phones and computers and things that beep and talk to you to let you know that something's happening, watches or whatever, but to actually separate from that. And to honor and respect that same space for the people around me. One of my natures tendencies is, oh, something needs to get done, let's go do it, and I'll go 200 miles per hour to get that thing done, whatever it is to get done. And not everybody is going to move that way, to honor and respect that space of people around me, because I don't want people to burn out, because you can't do it. Well, that was the other huge learning thing, is I can't do it all. You know, you need the team to make it happen. So how will I keep that is that when I was in Massachusetts, I had all of my support structure. I had an acupuncturist I saw regularly, a craniosacral therapist, dentist, et cetera, all the self-care stuff that I would do on a regular basis. And just started to create that here, and I started seeing an acupuncturist. And the acupuncturist says, so how do you like your position at the school from being in practice? And I said, I have to tell you, I have developed a great sense of humor. I had a good one before. And she said, what do you mean? I said, if I took everything that came before me seriously, I said, my blood pressure would probably be up 100 points, and I'd be stressed the entire time. I'd never smile. I said, so I just look at things. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
You have to. So I have a very good sense of humor.
Serious entertainment.
It's entertainment. But
It's gone. It's kind of like music, right? You put on a concert, right? You're serious about it, but you have to love it and be there. And the concert's over. We have another. There's always do-overs, right?
And
that's the beautiful thing.
There was something that I learned. Oh God. Maybe 40 years ago, I heard somebody say it, and it stuck with me. There is a difference between being responsible for something versus being responsible to something. And I've learned to not be responsible for everything.
Yeah.
I'll be responsible to the college, to my family, to my spouse, to my friends.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
I 100%, you have me, but I can't take. You know, I'm going to give it my best shot, but I can't be responsible for it.
Absolutely. All right, I got a few quick questions. These are 15 to 30 second answers, but I want whatever comes right off your mind, just straight from within you, right? All right, 18 months ago you got here. You're sitting here right now. What would you have told Dr. Peter Kevorkian as he left practice to come into the academic world? What advice, knowing what you know now, would you have given him 18 months ago?
You expect me to answer that?
Yes, I do. Innately, what's the first thing that pops up?
Don't take yourself seriously. That's it.
I love it. All right, and now you're stepping into, the presidency, right, which I'm thrilled about, and you're going to do absolutely phenomenal. But what would you tell yourself with knowing what you know right now, not 18 months ago, but right now, in the academic world, what one advice would you give yourself? You haven't been in the seat yet, but what you know enough, what advice are you going to give yourself?
It's all going to be okay.
Good. I love it.
It's all going to be fine.
I love it. Last one I got for you. Our ethos, right? Lasting purpose, giving, doing, loving, and serving. This could change at any time, but out of those four words, give, do, love, serve, at this particular moment, which one resonates within you, and why?
Love?
Mm-hmm. Why?
That's really the source of life, right?
Yeah.
It's a source. So if you stay connected to source, everything else makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It was that got me here.
Hey, us two old geezers here crying on the video.
You didn't tell me that was going to happen.
Love. I know. There's no tissue either. What can we do? Hey, brother, I love you. I am so, so excited for you. I mean, I am so excited. I'm more excited for you than I was for myself. And I really mean that, because I only hope and I only pray that what I've done, is a springboard for you to be able to go and do the magic and greatness that you're going to bring, and the Peter Kevorkian vision that you're going to bring. I only hope it can benefit you on that level, so that you can then be the best, because that's really what it's about, right? It's always about excelling and bringing people up-leveling. So I hope that, and I pray that, and I know I will see that, so.
And we're going to sit here and be excited about to see what Ron Oberstein creates.
Yeah.
I know you are not going to go lay in a
bush. Dude, no, that's not me.
Yeah, I know. And I don't ever necessarily see you on the golf course, although you'll probably be there more often.
Yeah.
Nor do I see you hunting and shooting your guns, although you'll do that too. you'll be creating and doing something. Just don't. Always remember that you have a home at LifeWest.
Oh, thank you. And I do, you know. I bleed, you know, blue and gold. I mean, I bleed it. So, wow. Hey, it's been a pleasure. I can't wait to witness. And hopefully I get invited to do this with you, where I can then ask you the questions. What have you done the last 18 months
kind of thing, you know? There we go.
And to our viewers, listen, thank you so much. I mean, obviously, these LifeWest Leadership Lines have been a they've been very near and dear to myself and to the college. And, you know, we started this during COVID, you know, just to reconnect people when people were just scattered at home, you know, uncertainty was in the air, you know, at the very beginning. We just put these together and just at a whim and, you know, boom, it's happened. No one even knew what Zoom was back then, but we did it. And, you know, thanks, man. You've been tuning in. We got one more very, very special edition coming up either next week or the week after, the last one that we're going to be doing to close out the series, which you don't want to miss. It's already been taped, and you're going to love it. I won't say much about it, but just know that just look for it. But thank you. You know, thank you for serving people. Thank you for doing what you do to create a brighter future for humanity, and that what you do allows others to become more connected to the universal intelligence, their innate intelligence, and just making this world a better place. So appreciate you, love you. For Dr. Peter and myself and the community at LifeWest, you got to get to campus, get to the wave, start seeing what we're doing, both campuses, right, Nebraska and California, and just know that you are always a part of LifeWest. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us today, and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.